Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Tanzania, President Obama's last leg on his African trip, where he signed an executive order to prevent the slaughter of rhinos and elephants for their horns and tusks. Jeanette Hemley, Senior Vice President of Conservation Strategy and Science at the World Wildlife Fund, joins us to discuss the conflicting agendas of developing Tanzania's gas fields and building more roads that will lead to more poaching, adding to the toll of the 10,000 elephants killed in Tanzania last year. Then we'll get an update on the deteriorating situation in Egypt, where the military have given President Morsi 48 hours to bring together a country that his Muslim Brotherhood government has bitterly divided. Sama Shahata, a professor of Middle East politics at the University of Oklahoma, joins us to discuss the growing protests organized by Tamarod, the rebellion, whose petition has 22 million signatures calling for Morsi to step down and for fresh elections to follow. Then finally, with the American fugitive Edward Snowden having applied for political asylum in Russia, we will talk to a prominent whistleblower about how civil liberties and national security can be balanced. Colleen Rowley, a former FBI special agent who pushed for an investigation of the so-called 13th 9/11 hijacker, joins us to discuss Putin's announcement that if Snowden wants to stay here, there is one condition. He must cease his work aimed at inflicting damage on our American partners, as strange as it may sound coming from my lips. And joining us now is Jeanette Hemley, Senior Vice President of Conservation Strategy and Science at the World Wildlife Fund, where she tracks execution of the World Wildlife Fund's local to global strategy to conserve ecologically important places and leads conservation advocacy campaigns to advance the World Wildlife Fund's global agenda and strengthen international policies to protect endangered and threatened species. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeanette Hemley.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And the president, on his trip to Tanzania, the last stop on his visit to Africa, he has signed an executive order aimed at preventing wildlife trafficking, particularly in rhinoceros horns and elephant tusks. And obviously, this is something that's been concerning you for some time. Where do we stand in terms of the exploitation, the slaughter and poaching of elephants in particular for their ivory? My understanding is that it's increased exponentially, and in the last year or so, it's been an absolute slaughter.
Well, it has been a huge conservation concern for the last few years, and you're right. The last couple of years, we've seen an explosion of poaching in Central Africa of elephants. We're seeing large shipments leaving Africa through the western part of the continent, as well as now through East Africa. It is a trend that is extremely worrying. And after a number of years where things were fairly stable in parts of Africa, we are suddenly seeing a big turn for the worse for the elephant.
Well, my understanding is that what's at issue in Tanzania more than anything else is this on-again, off-again Serengeti Highway that would link the Indian Ocean coast to Lake Victoria and then on to Uganda, Rwanda, and the Congo. My understanding is that the mining lobbies in Tanzania for the gold mines and the soda ash industry, they want this road opened up. But conservationists believe and are concerned that the increased traffic is going to devastate migration patterns for wildebeests and elephants and et cetera, and of course open up the Serengeti to even more poaching.
You know, that's one of the big challenges we have. Certainly that highway and highways like it in Central Africa that are being opened up by Chinese investments with billions of dollars pouring into from China and some other countries to extract the resources in unsustainable ways. All of these roads and the Serengeti Highway is chief among them could really just bring the access to wildlife that much closer closer to, you know, to the poachers, and that is certainly one of the big issues. You know, it underscores, you know, a huge challenge that we have, you know, just a sort of across the spectrum. There are a number of issues. You've got demand for wildlife products in countries particularly like China, but also Thailand for ivory. Those are the two countries that are the biggest markets for ivory right now. That, you know, we've got growing middle class, buying power in those countries, and the ivory trade in those markets is booming. And so that's driven a lot of the trends in poaching that we're now seeing. And that coupled with, you know, things like opening up access through the development of roads is just exacerbating the situation.
Well, in terms of the slaughter of elephants for their tusks, my understanding is that 10,000 elephants are being killed for their tusks annually across Tanzania, more than any other country in Africa.
That, you know, I'm not aware of that number. Do you say 10,000 in Tanzania?
Well, maybe that's a cumulative effect, that the elephant population in Tanzania has apparently fallen from 2,500 to just 500 in recent years. Is that right? Or is that just a Serengeti?
That's just the Serengeti, I think. I mean, it's continent-wide in 2012, about an estimated 30,000 elephants were poached, and that's probably a minimum number. Most of those elephants coming out of Central Africa, where we have the least information about the status of elephants, but we know that the numbers are going down precipitously. We have the weakest enforcement in that region, and so the largest problem with illegal trade. Tanzania, parts of Tanzania, the Serengeti is one area that's gotten hit. The Selu has gotten hit very hard, another important protected area in Tanzania. And so you're seeing elephants getting hit in Tanzania directly. And Tanzania has also become a critical transit country for ivory from other parts of Africa. So Tanzania is part of this picture in several ways, and, you know, is certainly in the crosshairs of the trade. And thus, it was important to see hear the president in Tanzania today announcing this big new commitment, including to helping the Tanzanian government deal with the issue in a newly concerted way.
Again, I'm speaking with Jeanette Henley, who is the Senior Vice President for Conservation Strategy and Science at the World Wildlife Fund, where she tracks execution of the World Wildlife Fund's local to global strategy to conserve ecologically important places and protect endangered and threatened species. Now, give us a sense of what this initiative does that the President is talking about in terms of money and enforcement. I mean, I take it that if you know where the elephants are being killed, if you know where the ivory is being transported, and if you know what ports from which they are exported to, you were saying that Thailand and China are the big markets for ivory, you would think that from a law enforcement point of view, it may not be that difficult to deal with. So what are the problems? Why has there been such an open season on the slaughter of elephants for the last few years?
Yep. So it's a number of things. So the significance of the president's announcement is that he is elevating for the first time at that level, to the highest office of the United States, the issue of wildlife trafficking. And it's the challenge that we've had in the conservation community and at World Wildlife Fund for the last few years is this problem has grown, the response to it has not in the sense of government response. So President Obama has made this a top priority for his administration, which is very significant. He's called together his cabinet officials to come up with a strategic response by the U.S. government in the next few months to chart out how we can help countries in Africa and other parts of the world, but particularly Africa, beef up enforcement, crack down on illegal trade, help countries with capacity to do that. I mean, you're right. On the face of it, you'd think, you know, if we know where the ivory's going, it might be relatively easy to tackle it and track it better and interdict it, but that's not been the case. And part of the reason is because the wildlife trade, while it used to be more of an ad hoc kind of opportunistic activity by the random poacher and illegal trader, it's now become a highly organized criminal activity running through crime syndicates, often linked to insurgent groups in Africa, highly sophisticated, highly organized. And so that's the challenge we're up against, and that's why it's important that this crime be treated like a serious crime along the lines of other big trade, illegal trade problems like narcotics and human trafficking and counterfeiting. You know, in fact, the illegal wildlife trade on a global scale is valued at somewhere between $7 and $10 billion a year. That's billion. And that puts it right up there as one of the top four or five illegal trades in the world in terms of scope and value. And so it's actually a very significant criminal activity and needs to be treated as such. And President Obama has today announced that it will be treated as a serious crime, and that's a big breakthrough.
And Jeanette Hemley, if indeed the organized crime and rebel groups and insurgent groups are involved in the poaching and slaughter of elephants and rhinoceroses, poaching of their tusks and selling them, now you would think that just giving some money to train some, you know, rangers to go in there lightly armed, that's not a fair fight by the sound of it.
You know, I mean, that's a good point. It's going to take more than just straight enforcement. In fact, another initiative that's underway in the U.S. government is a full review by the National Intelligence Council of the links of the wildlife trade to insurgencies and other illicit activities. And so it is much more than just, you know, an enforcement problem. And so together, these responses that the United States is making now, we hope to really get at the problem. It's really going to take a multifaceted effort. And through this presidential task force that President Obama has set up today, we hope that all the resources of the U.S. government from across the various agencies, from the State Department to the Interior Department to the Homeland Security Department and the Justice Department, we can really get a better picture of how to provide the best response to countries in the greatest need.
So in terms of the insurgencies, the most unstable place, of course, is the Congo and the bordering states, Rwanda and Uganda. In effect, the genocide in Rwanda opened a wound that still continues to bleed. Is that where the destabilization is coming from? I'm not aware of too many insurgencies, and certainly not in Tanzania or in Kenya. There's tribal bloodshed going on, and the president of Kenya is wanted by the International Criminal Court for running death squads. But apart from that, where do you think the problem lies, or where are the origins? Because Mugabe is one of the worst actors, I understand, in financing blood diamonds and destabilizing some of the neighborhoods.
Well, you're right that the Central Africa in particular is the area where we're seeing these security threats and the instabilities. The United Nations Security Council issued a report last month, in fact, that documented that the Lord's Resistance Army, the LRA, run by the infamous Kony, has actually been linked to the illegal ivory trade and to poaching activities. They're essentially selling ivory to finance their activities. Kony and the LRA are now thought to be in the Central African Republic. In that region, of course, in Uganda has been, you know, a country that has been of concern, and that the U.S. has cooperated with to try to address some of the problems of this insurgency. So that's certainly a hot spot, and the U.N. Has recently taken a great interest in this to really try to understand more specifically where the insurgencies are linked in. It seems as though arms are coming from the fallout of the Libyan situation. And there's just a growing amount of weapons and arms available in Africa from, you know, all the different civil wars and insurgent problems that have taken place over many years. And that's all just making, you know, poaching that much easier to undertake. And so that's another compounding factor.
Again, I'm speaking with Jeanette Hemley, who is the Senior Vice President of Conservation Strategy and Science at the World Wildlife Fund, where she executes their local two global strategy to conserve ecologically important places and protect endangered and threatened species. Now, the president today in Tanzania is going to be opening a U.S.-owned power plant following an announcement over the weekend of a multi-billion-dollar electricity initiative. And my understanding is, in terms of value for money, in terms of helping Africa, as opposed to exploiting it, which is what the colonial powers have been doing for centuries, would be to improve infrastructure because, you know, people's electricity goes on and off all the time throughout Africa, and roads and infrastructure do limit Africa's ability to export. But it's a sort of a double-edged thing, isn't it, in a way, because Tanzania has an estimated 41.7 trillion cubic feet of recoverable natural gas reserves, and discoveries offshore of Tanzania and Mozambique have led oil and gas people to predict that it could be the world's third largest exporter of natural gas. So, you know, we've seen what's happened in the United States with this mania over fracking, and we talked earlier about the Serengeti Highway. So if you're going to be, on the one hand, protecting the elephants and the rhinoceros and the wildebeest, but on the other hand, encouraging development of oil and gas and the infrastructure that that would bring in with highways, et cetera, don't those two things work against each other?
Well, they certainly can if they're not done right. I think what the president intends and other countries that are trying to help Africa develop in a good way. Obviously, you know, we want to see more access to electricity in Tanzania and other countries, but it needs to be done in the right way, and with those countries to ensure that their natural resources are managed, in a proper way. So you're right. I mean, a lot comes into play. We certainly want to see increased investments in protecting the natural resources and the wildlife, and that's why this presidential initiative announced today for illegal wildlife trafficking is so important. But it's part of a package of new initiatives the president announced in Tanzania, all of which are aimed at helping both the country of Tanzania develop in the way it would like to, while also protecting and managing well its natural resources. So it's you've got to look at the whole package and work together with the countries to make sure that they that we're holding them accountable for the investments that we make, but also understanding their needs to reduce poverty and help develop properly.
Well, I've just been going through some notes here, Jeanette. And it's apparently here, well, there were 10,000 elephants killed for their tusk annually across Tanzania, a third of the global population. And the buffalo population in the Serengeti has dropped from 70,000 to 40,000 due to the demand for bushmeat. So that's a whole other aspect, is it not, bushmeat?
You know, the bushmeat issue is a very challenging one, and it is it's challenging because it's a lot of it's for local consumption and people need protein, and it's also for trade externally sometimes as well, it's a challenging one that it's going to take a lot of close working together with these countries and their local communities to really address that. And it's not one that we, I think, or any country in Africa has cracked yet. It's having a big impact as well as the commercial ivory trade, the large-scale ivory trade and rhinoceros horn trade that was the main subject of the president's announcement today.
Well, let's end on a positive note, Jeanette. What's your takeaway from the president talking about wanting a new model for development in Africa and choosing Tanzania to make that announcement?
I think, Tanzania has been a great country as a partner for the U.S. for many, many years, and that was reflected in the comments that the president made today with the president of Tanzania. It's a country that is obviously hugely important for its wildlife resources, and we're thrilled that the president announced in Tanzania this unprecedented commitment to really elevating the issue of illegal wildlife trafficking, which is the biggest threat to a number of iconic species, including elephants and rhinos. And we think it's a major step forward and a big signal to the world that the U.S. is going to take this issue seriously. We hope it will inspire other leaders around the world to step up and make similar commitments. And we really look forward to working with the Obama administration to helping them implement it so that we can all work together with the African countries to protect their precious wildlife species.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Jeanette Hamley.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Jeanette Hemley, who's the Senior Vice President of Conservation Strategy and Science at the World Wildlife Fund, where she leads the local to global strategy to conserve ecologically important places and protect endangered and threatened species. We're going to take a brief station break and we're back doing an update on Egypt, where the military have given the Morsi government 48 hours to get their act together.